How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to episode number 5 of Front Yard Socks.
Woo!
It's Ben Weisel with Sam Greenberg, and boy, do we have a good one for you today.
A good and long one. That's what she's saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So today, the game plan is talking Yankees, and more Yankees.
With a little bit of Red Sox mixed in.
I mean, we're mostly just going to talk about the Yankees because, I mean, people come here so they can listen to how the Yankees are doing. I mean, that's we talk about the Yankees on this show. That's how it works.
I think we should let them know how they're doing. You know, it's our duty to the people.
Yeah, completely agree. And I mean, hell of a weekend to be a Yankee fan. Let's be real. You come, you show up to Fenway. First thing you know, D.D. Gregorius hits a first-inning home run off of Brian Johnson, who's posted a sub-2 ERA since the All-Star break. And then they follow it up with another home run to go up 4-0.
Yeah, that first inning wasn't pretty to start the series off.
Yeah, I mean, and then you're thinking, hey, this is going to be a phenomenal series. But I definitely wasn't ready for what happened next. Were you?
I told you. Did I not tell you that we're potentially going to go into this and sweep them and beat it 10 games up?
Sorry. What you meant to say was you predicted being swept because we talk about the Yankees.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Yeah. We just got derailed by the Red Sox.
Yeah. All right. Jokes aside, we're getting into the Yankees series. Again, the series against the Yankees because we're Red Sox fans, hence the title. And we're going to talk about all four games. We're going to talk about the division race. But hopping into game one, Red Sox go down 4-0. And I'm sitting there at work thinking, oh, no. Sale goes on the DL, and the first thing that happens is BJ gives up 4 runs, and you're thinking – this is over. And all the Yankees fans on Twitter are like, oh, this is what we told you were going to happen. The Red Sox can't play against good teams. Wrong.
Yeah, and it was kind of like depressing that first inning because it was supposed to be Chris Sale on the mound and not a spot start for Johnson. But he settled down.
Yeah, I mean, he could have gone out and thrown with his right hand and the Red Sox still would have won that game.
Oh, my God. It was an absolute – which finally our bats came
alive. It had been sketchy against – obviously against the Phillies. We scored, what, 3 runs?
Exactly.
And you're thinking, okay, it's okay. We're still winning games. Our pitching is going well. Hopefully something changes in this series. And it didn't look good. But I still think the biggest thing – in this series was racking up CC's pitch count because that's literally where it all started.
Yeah, he got pulled. He got pulled
after three innings.
And his pitch count was at 77.
Which was interesting. Interesting decision to pull him. I mean, obviously they brought in Holder and it didn't really work out.
No.
But I don't really get sort of the reasoning behind pulling. I mean, you have him. I thought Boone was going to have him go 4, and then you could think about that because if your starter's only giving you 3 innings, you're really not going to win a ball game.
Yeah, but remember before this series started, we were commending them on their bullpen. Like, but we were saying if you get them to the 6, their 7, 8, 9 relievers are prime, but not this series. And coming out in the 3rd puts a lot of stress. Which, yeah, you're right. I'm surprised they did take him out in the 3rd. I thought they would have let him go one more because they were up, I think, 4-2 at that point. But we were really working the count.
So my story was, I know that you know this, I, after the top of the 4th inning, so middle of the 4th, Red Sox are down 4-2. So the bats sort of started doing something. The Red Sox were putting guys on base, which was huge. And Steve Pierce hits a solo home run. We're like, okay. And I was thinking to myself, 4-0 lead, just chip away. So I leave. And I pick up my phone like an hour and a half later and could not believe my eyes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was trying to get a hold of you. I was like, is this dude, like, not watching the game? What is going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
Because Steve, yeah, so, go ahead.
I'm thinking, I mean, I said, so we're down 4-2. Like, all right, this is going to be fine. We're going to get to their bullpen. Hopefully we can put some runs on their middle inning relievers. And that is exactly what they did. So, it's sort of hard to think back on it now, but I know that JBJ had a phenomenal slide at home. And that's the thing about JBJ is you can harp his .215 batting average, or whatever he's hitting. But when he needs to make plays, he's like not great with runners in scoring position, but he always seems to have one pivotal play a game, whether it be defensively, whether it be a double off the wall, which he had that set him up in that position in the fourth inning. He always seems to do something positive for the team that then allows them to be in a place to either chip away the lead or give him a lead or do something, steal a base. And that's sort of been his role this year.
Yeah, he does. Man, that's, you all right?
Yeah. I just got some phlegm.
That slide was ridiculous, man. That was I think that was the best slide of the year.
He was cooking. He was cooking.
And let's give y'all some context. He got caught up at third. He got caught in between, you know, getting home, ground ball hit to the pitcher, goes back to third, realizes it ain't a good idea, and just says, you know what, screw it. I'm going to book it towards home, see what happens. He does a great job of getting into the lane on the inside part of the foul line. So the throw has to be a little bit more inside than they want it to be, and then takes off for the outside of the plate. And it was the most beautiful slide I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, it was beautifully orchestrated. And that's really what sparked the rally, because then all of a sudden it's 4-3. Steve Pierce comes up, hits a moonshot over the monster for a second home run, 3-run dong, giving the Sox a 6-4 lead. So I picked up my phone, and it was 10-4, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what happened? And of course, Red Sox Twitter's blown up and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. And all these runs came off Holder. He pitched – well, it says innings pitched 0.0, but that's just because he didn't record a single out, allowed 7 earned runs, 5 hits, a walk. Guess what his ERA is?
3.5 right now.
But for the series.
It's got to be, what, 18 maybe?
108.
Oh, excuse me. Holy shit.
Yep. 108, and I think his whip was 16-something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was not pretty.
Every base runner he gave up, the Red Sox brought home.
Yes, yeah. And then they brought in, after that, oh, no, yeah, Sessa came in and got lit up too. Wow, it was just a bad game for the Yankees. That was not what they wanted to do coming in. And you were thinking that it was going to be a game you might hand to the Yanks because of the spot start by Johnson.
I mean, we were talking about it. Chris Sale goes on the deal. You're thinking, okay, if BJ pitches well, then we're fine. The Red Sox haven't been great against CeCe in the past, so hopefully we hang a few runs on him. If BJ pitches well, we might have this game. If not, not a big deal. Get ready for Friday.
Yeah, and they tack a few on later on. Workman came in, didn't look all that great, but Kelly came in, great, pitched a great inning, and then Brazier came in and finished it off. Swihart goes to the DL, which is
So that's another thing. A big part of that game was Kinsler being a RBI machine and also playing phenomenal defense to really cement his role as a Red Sox this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Those plays he made were we're not going to hate on Nunez. Actually, we're not going to hate on Nunez as of this past month. But the month before that, the month before that, Nunez at second is a freaking ding-dong. Yeah. But at third, he's playing awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm throwing the towel in on Nunez for now. The man can do what he wants. He's redeemed himself. And he's swinging a hot bat, granted. Holder's been good up to this point. And that's what people keep saying, is that he has had a good year. He, after that 7-run outing, he still had a 3.5 ERA, which means that he was holding it down. And that's what people keep saying this. Why on earth would Boone go to Chad Green earlier? Like, why would you keep Holder in a position to just continue to be lit up?
Oh, yeah. And Boone just left him out there to be... I mean, granted, all of this happened really quickly. But as a manager, you can't let your boy go in and get 7 off of him and then leave the base. I think the bases were loaded when he left the ball game. So
yeah, I mean, that just can't happen. That just cannot happen.
Yeah. Classic. And this is another thing about the difference between Aaron Boone and Alex Cora is, one, the Yankees have amazing talent, and which is why they have, I think, the third best record in baseball now. But Aaron Boone does not know how to make managerial decisions in these types of series, in these types of games, in these types of positions. He falters 100%. And Cora is basically Bill Belichick of the Red Sox.
Bill Belichick was on hand for Sunday Night Baseball. Let's not forget that.
Yes. Wearing a terribly fitted hat.
Oh, yeah, no, that dude needed 3 more sizes on that hat at least.
He got like a 5 1/4 size.
That thing looks like a yarmulke on his head.
So this game, another thing to touch on, Britton comes in and kind of redeems himself, even though they were down 15-7 at that point. So.
I mean, he got bailed out. He lets up a hit, and then Kinsler hits a rifle and gets someone got doubled up. I think it might have been like Moore or Pierce or somebody. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was Pierce. So he kind of escaped too. I mean, just for the best bullpen in baseball, they looked shaky.
Oh, they looked awful. And we haven't even said it yet, but Pierce had the hat trick with the homers. Like, absolutely ridiculous. And then the next game, he hits another one. Absolutely hitting the ball amazingly.
Oh, no.
The best trade.
Oh, no. I just watched the Astros. I just watched Marwin Gonzalez go yard in the top of the ninth with 2 outs against Will Smith, who's been lights out, and to take a 3-1 lead against the Giants. And I'm thinking we're going to get to the Astros in a second, but it's the playoff race is becoming more interesting in the AL for sure, and that is a huge home run for the Astros with all the injury problems they've been having. Anyways, so Red Sox go, and they score what it ended up being 10 unanswered runs maybe, and –
I think in that inning, yeah, I think in that inning.
It was 8 in that inning, more with Pierce's home run. Got like a couple in the later innings. Pierce's third. But it was 10 unanswered. Red Sox go out there. So they're up. Yeah, and then like they're like, DD hit another one. Giancarlo hit one out. Doesn't matter. Brazier gave up a run, but Brazier's been pitching phenomenal. All of a sudden, he's become a very, very reliable bullpen arm.
Yeah, especially in these late innings. They've been letting them have it, too. They've been trusting them with the ball, which in this type of game, when you see a run on his little stat sheet, on his work line, you can't even be really that mad because at that point, it was a 15-6 ball game. You're just pitching to get outs. You know, you're not trying you're not working too hard. You're pumping. You're trying to pump strikes, let them hit the ball, and end the ball game.
Yeah. 15-7, one of probably my favorite game up to that point in the year, I would say.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, so what else comes to mind?
I think of the game like 2 weeks ago where Mookie comes up after that 13-pitch at bat and just grand salami.
Yeah, so the J-Hap grand slam. The Mookie Betts walk-off, too, where they rallied against the Twins. It's a good one. Obviously, Sales Price when they hung 11 on the Yankees in the Bronx, or Sales Start. This team is like last year. This team was the king of walk-offs because they weren't good enough to beat teams outright. Whereas now, when we're in positions to lose games, they don't give up, and that's like the main difference I see with this team compared to last year.
Why give up? You're the best team in baseball at any one point. Just look at this game that we're talking about. In the fourth inning, we hung 8 runs, you know? seven with zero outs. You know, the possibility – baseball was one of those games where it just – it doesn't really matter. You got to play ball no matter who you're playing it. Because any one day, one team can beat another. Like, you could just see it with the Yankees and the Orioles. Yeah. Like,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a 30-win team. It doesn't matter if you're an 80-win team.
100%. So, overall, awesome ball game. Steve Pierce hat trick. The only thing that sucks about this game is Swihart goes to the 10-day, which it's not serious. They said he'll be back before, you know.
I mean,
it's just we only have Sandy Leon now as a catcher.
We brought up some nobody. I mean, that's the thing is that if the Red Sox need a hamstring or two, I am more than willing to give one of mine up. And I'm sure the rest of Red Sox Nations are too, because Red Sox Nation is too, because clearly something, I probably just totally a fluke, but it's just so weird to have like three guys in a week and a half, Swihart, Kinsler, and Devers, sidelined with hamstring injuries. And they're not significant, so it makes you think, okay, it's not like some freak accident where someone went out and pulled a hamstring because of wear and tear or anything like that. It's just like slow buildup and probably a lack of – I mean, I don't really want to get into it because I don't know that much about that kind of stuff. But it makes you wonder, like, come on, we got to reevaluate because we can't have guys going on the 10-day DL with hamstring stuff.
I mean, okay, well, I guess I can touch on this because I'm currently getting my master's in sports medicine. Yeah. Which, you know, I guess is great for us. I am now officially the doctor of this show. But this baseball is one of those sports because everything is so what's the word? You're using all your type 1 muscles, which are your fast twitch, quick twitch muscles. So everything you're doing is bang, immediate. And then you also have to remember baseball is a slow game. There's a lot of standing around. After you warm up and stretch before the game, you got basically a three-hour ball game, and half of that you're sitting on your ass in the dugout. So there's just a lot of chance, especially when you're base running too, hitting those bags and stretching for those bags. And I think that's what happened to Kinsler. He stretched for first. And well, that was the second game. But I didn't know what happened to Swihart. They didn't show it or anything.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
maybe these athletic trainers need to start massaging them in between innings.
Yeah, if they need a masseuse, it sounds like you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Hit me up, Red Sox.
I'll give free massages in the dugout if you give me season tickets. Sold. Yeah.
I wouldn't even care if they were in the bleachers. I wouldn't even care if they were in the parking lot.
Yeah. That's one thing that, like, if I went to BU or something, like, or like MIT, like, there'd be days.
Okay, now chill out, Ben. Chill
I mean,
out.
I'm okay. Okay,
don't go MIT yourself.
Hear me out. There'd be days where I would want to just like, I mean, I'd be able to just like pick up tickets online for like $6 and just go sit in the nosebleeds and just like enjoy the baseball game. Like, imagine how cool that would be.
Oh yeah. Or even you say you're an MIT man. You just hit the freaking the green line or the orange line to Fenway, wait till the seventh inning, till they open the gates up, and just go stand around out there, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I would do that every single night. But overall, game one, 15-7. Surprising, I want to say surprising victory, but the bats came alive. 20 hits in the ball game. Seemed like everybody but Sandy Leon and Swihart and Holt didn't hit the ball. But great game. Sox go up 6.5 at that point.
Yeah. I mean, then you're thinking, okay, things might go our way this series for real. And then.
Yeah, because then. Oh, man.
And then.
Go ahead.
Porcello throws a Maddux-esque gem. I would argue the best game we've seen from a Red Sox pitcher all year. Oh, actually, wait, no. Okay, no, there's no argument. It is the best game we've seen from a Red Sox pitcher this year.
Yeah, no, hands down, best. He only had one slip-up. He would have thrown a perfect game. A perfect game if he just didn't have that one slip up.
Well, yeah. I mean, if he hadn't drilled Gardner, but that was totally unintentional.
Forget about Gardner.
But I mean, he talked about it after the game. He said, he was like, what happened with that home run to, what was it, Andujar?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I thought he was looking fastball, so I threw him a changeup and it hung up. And that ball was just like middle in and crushed.
Bro, he hit that thing over the interstate.
Yeah. No.
Like, that thing was a monster. When he hit that, too, like, that. Okay, so Andujar, he's a rookie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. I'm pretty sure he's a rookie. He's almost hitting 300 on the year and easily one of the best prospects of the league this year, rookie-wise.
Absolutely. He's probably rookie of the year candidate or favorite.
Yeah, yeah. And he was hitting DH that game. He wasn't even playing third.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully for the Yankees. but so that's where you're – I mean, what was it? It was 3-1 at that point, and you're thinking, okay, hopefully Porcello doesn't get complacent, hopefully doesn't start allowing base runners because that's something he's – Like, because he doesn't really walk guys, so when he does have a start where his command is off, you know it's going to be a long one because he relies on outs from hard contact, and we saw that a lot on Friday. So you think with when he gets guys on base, if they make hard contact, it's easy for a game to go pretty wrong for him. But he just had everything working. He had his two-seamers, four-seamers, curveballs, sliders, changeup, the sinking chain. I mean, he can throw five or six pitches. And he was throwing all of them really to perfection. And it showed 9 strikeouts, no walks, 86 pitches in 9 innings. And that's just, it doesn't get much better than that.
No, it does. I mean, you know, what's funny is, so I saw this stat, I think ESPN posted it because they, I don't know, but, so that was the lowest complete game, pitch count this year. Guess what the next lowest would be like in the past years?
Probably I'm gonna say like 90, like 94, probably by like Kluber.
I want to. No, it was. I'm almost positive it was 92 by your one and only Rick Porcello.
Oh shit!
Yeah, last year. So the dude has the and he looked like. Was it 2016? Yeah, it was 2016. He looked like 2016 Rick Porcello. And so after this game, I went ahead and put on Twitter what would you want your 4-man rotation to be for the playoffs? And the consensus came out that they would want Sale, Porcello, Price, Eovaldi. So it would go lefty, righty, lefty, righty.
Which makes us seem so spoiled because Erod. I got some argument on Twitter with this guy trying to say, like, oh, Erod's not going to be healthy. I mean, if there's no reason to rush him back. If he takes his time and is healthy with the Red Sox, having him come out of the bullpen would be phenomenal.
Yeah, and I also heard that he pitched a 30 pitch pen the other day and that he's progressing, like, significantly faster than they ever expected him to.
Yeah.
So, and it kind of sucks for Erod because he was doing so well starting ball games, and now they had Eovaldi come in. And so, but that's just a whole, I guess we got to see how the last 50 games plays out and when he's going to come back. But like you said, there is no rush to bring him back.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to ask too. So I've got my opinion, but I wanted to hear what you had to say. Who do you think digresses first out of the Red Sox staff? Who do you think
digresses? Yeah,
think sort of struggles first
in the bullpen?
No. Starting pitching wise, like who do you think doesn't stay this sharp?
Like for the 4-man,
4-man, 5-man. I mean, well, yeah, we'll say 4-man now because Brian Johnson, whatever. I mean, what we're getting from him right now is just so fortunate that it's not even worth worrying about. Him potentially having a couple of bad outings because there's a 5-man, he's five guy, he's killing it.
That's tough. Even with the guys on the DL. Yeah.
So out of those, out of Sale, Porcello, Eovaldi, and Price, who do you think struggles in their next outing or their outings to come first?
Oh, no, that's not fair. You can't take those four. God, okay. If you want, because are we going to talk about Pomeranz?
No, it's just Pomeranz doesn't look just good. Just forget it. Well, that's also another thing. The Red Sox right now are in a six-man rotation. That's pretty sweet. I get that you don't want Pomeranz every sixth game going out there, and you're thinking, shit, here we go. We're probably going to lose this game, because then you rely on the bats to show up and to provide offense for him. But I'm going to say it's probably going to be Evaldi.
Man, that's – you would hate to say it. No, you know what? No. I'm going to say Porcello. Are we just picking from Price, Porcello, Evaldi, and
Sale? Yeah.
Sale? Yeah. I'm going to say Porcello.
Okay, I want to hear why.
Because I don't – Porcello hasn't had the year that he's wanted that. I mean, what, he's 12-4 now? I mean, but that doesn't really tell the whole story. He's just been hit hard. And even this game that we're current – this 4-1 ball game where he pitched his absolute gem, there were points where they were – the Yankees were cracking the bat on him. It was just, you know, it was just going, you know, at one point, I think Jackie Bradley probably had 7 or 8 putouts, to be honest. Like, and they were deep putouts. There weren't no slouch of fly balls. So, yeah, I'm only saying that because Eovaldi has had such a great year. And I think that we are more cautious with Eovaldi than we would be with Porcello. And so Eovaldi is going to keep getting – if he keeps pitching like he does, even if it's a six-inning ball game and he's at like 85 pitches, I still think we pull him. So he's never going to be in the position that, let's say, Price was in the other night. Yeah. So Eovaldi is going to be a lot fresher than the previous Cy Young winner, Porcello.
And yeah, I think that
I think this is an unfair question too, because they're all pitching well.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too, but I think that the thing I see why Evaldi struggling before the rest of them is because I think that he obviously his stuff feels really good, but his stuff looks really good and I think he feels really good coming off the Tommy Johns. But I think that we're going to see him have an outing where his stuff isn't as sharp. And instead of, cause he doesn't induce contact the same way that Porcello does. So I think that Evaldi relies more on pitching, like sort of attacking hitters, whereas not attacking hitters as much, where Porcello really pounds the zone, where Evaldi relies on his stuff and his fastball. Maybe his stuff sort of lacks and he gets lit up a little bit. But again, I mean, this is just like beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, I think those four are going to have a great rest of the year. I think the only thing we really have to worry about is, you know, is Johnson and not even much as Johnson, but Pomeranz. And I guess when Steven Wright comes back and Erod comes back, you kind of have to keep a close eye on them because they're not going to be getting that constant flow of rotation that's been going on in the bullpen right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous to think that we have Sale, Price, Porcello, Eovaldi, Erod, Wright, Brian Johnson, Pomeranz. 8 guys who could start a game for us.
Yeah, at any one point and start a game well.
Yeah.
The only person that is not a starting pitcher is Johnson.
And he's sort of proven the doubters wrong for sure this year.
Yeah. Oh, so I guess we kind of got off a tangent. Game 2 was awesome. Yeah,
big old tangent.
Yeah, was awesome. We got 0-2 count, top of the first, Porcello, Plunks, Gardner, with a off-speed pitch. Off-speed, 0-2 count, obviously unintentional. Brett Gardner, the peckerhead he is staring at
the living thumb.
Yeah, exactly. Stares at Porcello and slowly takes his time going down the first. Porcello goes ahead and chops up the rest of the inning. Mookie comes up bottom of the first. First pitch, 97-mile-per-hour fastball right at his head. Doesn't get hit. Luckily, gets out
totally
of the way.
Intentional. Totally intentional.
100%. This is the first pitch of the ball game too.
I'm like, yeah, okay, so, you could be like, oh, Severino's been wild. No, he's not that wild. Like, for an ace, or in quotations, the ace he has been in the last couple of months, he hasn't really been pitching that well. But you're not going to be just letting it loose and missing by that much. So,
yeah, so
home plate, yeah, home plate umpire Adam Hamari then comes out and issues warnings, which I have no problem. I think the Nesson broadcast was like, he's issuing warnings? Yeah. Yeah. So Gardner gets hit. Obviously, there's a lot of history. We saw this a lot last year with the Orioles after the Pedroia issue, the knee injury that ended up costing him so much time. But Cora did not take too fondly to that and makes his way out. And I was talking to my buddy, and he said that clearly Cora came out too quickly for Hamari's liking. And Hamari said, no, stay back, stay back, stay back. Like, I don't want to, this is not, you can't argue about this, even though Cora was probably just searching for an explanation, and Cora got tossed, and then he got hot.
Yeah, that's totally BS. First off, if you issue warnings, if you're an umpire and you issue a warning, a manager is 100%, 150,000% allowed to come out of the dugout and figure out what is the warning about and how the ball game is going to proceed after that. They 100,000% get to come out and do that. And Cora comes out of the dugout and the home plate umpire is just waving him away. Like, not today, not today. Like, you don't get to do that as a home plate umpire. You issue warnings, you have to give an explanation, especially to the managers. 100%. Cause that's BS. So then he tosses him. Cora, his first ejection, bravo. Very proud of him. Little tangent right here. I talked to my father the other day. He said, the only thing I would change about your show is watch the F-bomb. But in this case, Cora is screaming, fuck that, fuck that, fuck you. And even from the dugout, when the pitch was thrown, he was screaming at Severino. Yeah. So I've never seen Cora. Cora is a church boy, altar boy, everything like that. And he is hot. He gets sent home early. Probably goes into the stands with a fake mustache and watches the rest
of
the ball game.
Yeah, true Bobby V fashion.
It was awesome.
Yeah, so with that, it was his first ejection of the year. And I loved him getting out there. The best part of that whole exchange was obviously Steve Pierce goes deep to drive in Mookie, two-run shot. And there's Chris Sale.
Oh, another bomb.
Chris Sale on the top step just letting Severino have it. And it was awesome because this was when we had Remy and Eck and Dave O'Brien all in the booth together. And so they're all sitting there like, oh, like we saw Chris Sale shouting out at the diamond. And it didn't seem to be in the direction of Steve Pierce as he rounded the bases. And you look at Chris Sale and just letting Sevy hear it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I get this was the series to finally wake. Like, because Cora is not an angry person. And Chris Sale has literally zero emotion ever. I've never even seen
him. Yeah,
no,
but when it's emotion, he's pissed.
Oh, my God. He was on that top step. And he was waving his arm at Severino. He was going nuts.
There's a great shot where it's Sale is yelling at Severino and like JBJ is not really paying attention. And then he says something and JBJ is just like ears perk up. He's like, whoa. I don't know what he said, but it clearly caught JBJ's attention, which you love to see that.
Yeah, so Steve Pierce drops another freaking bomb, fourth home run in 5 at bats, totally inflating his stats for great Twitter use.
Big stat guy.
What else happens?
I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Moreland had a good game after he came in for Kinsler because Kinsler, had another guy that goes out on the hamstring, puts on the 10-day, but is supposed to be back just
fine. I mean, Moreland kind of got off his schneid a little bit.
So this actually caused a little – so Cora's gone. So this kind of caused a little bit of a defensive debacle for the Red Sox since Kinsler had to come out. So with Pierce – being in the ball game. At first, they have to bring in Moreland for Kinsler. So Moreland gets moved to first. Pierce goes into right field. And guess who comes in to play second base? Your one and only. Exactly. And then the first pitch after everything happens is right to Mookie. He plays second base clearly awesomely. I think he played in college.
Yeah, no, so
wasn't
he
purely – wasn't he a –
yeah,
he
came up as a middle infielder.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. And then – which is absolutely crazy to believe because he is a gold glove outfielder, and he didn't transition to the outfield until he came to the majors.
He's just an incredibly talented athlete, and that it definitely showed. Ended up being a good move. Marlin had two hits. He drove in a run. No, he didn't. Yeah, he drove in a run.
Marlin drove in a run, and then Eddie yeah. drove in a run.
So big game. Porcello goes the distance. Sox win 4-1, and then we move to Saturday, and the Yankees had a guy on the bump who was making his major league debut at Fenway Park in a Red Sox-Yankees game and honestly pitched a pretty good game.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you were about to say something bad about him, I was like, I honestly thought he had a pretty – for his debut in Fenway in a huge series. And this is because Hap has –
Hap's been spending too much time in the 1800s.
Yeah, he's got polio and
HPV, whatever.
Yeah, he's got
the human poopaloopa virus.
So Adams comes in and he got knocked around early, and then after that he settled in. I don't know, 5 innings pitched, 3 hits, 3 earned runs, pretty. For what they wanted from him, pretty damn good, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he made one mistake early to Moreland, and he paid the price. Moreland hit a 2-run home run in the first. And again, you're thinking, whoo, here we go. And then he sat down, I think, like 9 straight. And then he gave up another run that was on a double by J.D. Martinez, I think.
Yes.
Drove in maybe – No. JD hit his 33rd, of course, the bomb over the monster. So we really just had two bad pitches in that game that got punished.
Was that
bad? No. Moreland hit his in like the fourth and fifth. JD hit his in the fourth or the fifth.
You know what's funny about this is there's this freaking guy named Terry Cushman who has a whole bunch of freaking followers on his little Red Sox podcast who has to whine about everything. Yeah, he has to whine about everything ever. It seems like the guy is never happy, doesn't understand baseball at all. So he's upset that Moreland is coming in for Pierce, even though you got a righty on the mound and Pierce is a righty. So he's playing the matchup games, and plus you can't let Moreland go sit on the bench, you know, for long periods of time, even if he is struggling.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Turns out Moreland, first pitch, or not first pitch, but within that gets a –
first
at bat gets a slider that comes in inside, and he just turns and cranks it over the bullpen. Beautiful thing to see. Still haven't gotten my public apology yet for telling me to suck his cock and whatnot. Yeah, I didn't think so. He said he had an open spot on his podcast the other day. I was like, let me on. He never replied. I was gonna light him up, but he's scared. But Moreland looking good at the plate. He walked, had 2 RBIs, which is good because he has been struggling, and you don't want to see that, especially if we're gonna start playing the matchup game with Pierce and Moreland at first.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that Cora's doing a really good job with. So I don't really have too much of an issue coming up with it on my own. I mean, my opinion doesn't really mean anything to begin with. But with the way Cora's been managing, I just feel like anything that I say against Cora is going to come back to bite me in the ass.
Yeah, plus think of it this way. You have a guy's debuting, his major league debut, in Fenway. Why not let a struggling Moreland have at it on a rookie? You know, the guy's a professional hitter. That's his job, is to hit the ball. I mean, he plays a great first base, but he is a professional hitter.
Yeah.
So why not let him get hot? You know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
take advantage of somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it worked out. So Red Sox taking 4-1. I think Eovaldi was brilliant. Only 4 strikeouts. So that's the thing that was his stuff looks so nasty, but he only struck out 4 guys.
Hey, he was throwing. Did you watch him when he was that last inning? He was about to come out of the ball game, yeah, throwing 100 miles an hour.
Absolutely.
On consecutive pitches.
Absolute gas.
It looked so Eovaldi with the Red Sox has gone 15 innings strong now, 0 earned runs, I think 1 walk, 9 strikeouts and like 7 hits. And his only his last start was only 87 pitches through 7, and now this one was 90. They let him go a little longer into the 8th, so 93 in the 8th. So he's, like you said earlier, Porcello is a guy that's going to come strike you out. Eovaldi is a guy that's going to place it that's right. Yeah, Eovaldi is a guy who's going to try to place it to where you're hitting the ball. He's going to play the matchup game on
you. Yeah. Just trying to induce weak contact. He uses his cutter to get swings and misses and stuff and quick strikes, which is
His cutter was I was looking at his, so he was pitching, he was averaging around, he was doing like a 96 mile an hour fastball, and then his slider was anywhere from 87 to 89, and his cutter was looking ridiculous at like 90, 91, 92.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Oh no, it was up to 94 too.
Absurd. Can you believe that though?
No, I mean, he's been so good for the Red Sox, which is just like 3 acquisitions they've made have all already paid dividends and like won them the game. Won them games, which is something.
Won them this series.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Won them this series.
Yeah.
Besides, you know, like one game. I mean, Kinsler comes in. Pierce Kinsler only gets that first game. But he RBIs everywhere. Pierce is homering everywhere. That second game, Pierce wins, you know, has go-heads, runs and whatnot. And then Eovaldi comes in and shuts them down in the third game. So those 3 guys come in and make an impact instantly and are Yankee killers.
Yeah.
And yeah. So this game was 4-1. Eovaldi didn't let up 0 runs. You want to talk about Kimbrel?
Yeah, so people were kind of hopping on him for a poor performance. He walked 2, gave up 2 hits, stranded the bases loaded at the end of the game on a fly out to center by Greg Bird, gave up a run, threw 32 pitches. And honestly, we saw it with Aroldis Chapman. I mean, like, the exact same thing happened. Neither of them have pitched in high-leverage situations since the All-Star break, and neither of them have been under a lot of pressure. And neither of them have thrown consistently like they're used to because there haven't been in games where they've needed to. So yeah, it gets to the point where you think our starters are going so long, it's starting to have a negative effect on our bullpen. And we saw that. You think, okay, Kimbrel's going to come in, 4-0 lead, lock it down, game over. He's got a good start. He gets 2 outs. He gets 2 strikes on Stanton. Double-double, single, flyout. And I was so nervous there for a second.
That was a deep flyout, wasn't it?
I know. It was sort of just like left center. Sort of a lazy fly ball. Thankfully, Greg Bird is just trash.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Kimbrel hasn't seen the field in a while. I think it was like a week since he's seen the field. And you got to let your bullpen have – I mean, as much as everybody wanted to see back-to-back complete games, first off, Eovaldi's, like you said, 2 Tommy Johns. And Kimbrel is the best closer in the league. So you got to let him – with a 4-run ball game, you're not that worried, to be honest. It got a little shaky, though, when the bases were loaded. I was kind of sweating a little bit because I knew – I figured something bad was going to happen. Like, when the bases were – did you not, when the bases were loaded, just feel like it was coming?
I felt like we were going to have a collapse.
I felt like this was this was going downhill fast. I was like, what just happened? Eovaldi just pitched one of the best games of his career, and then comes in Kimbrel, and he's gonna load the bases for a grand slam. But luckily, he got out of it, and all is well that ends well. Game three goes to us, and at that point, we're 8.5 games up, and New York is just literally drowning themselves in animosity towards Boone and towards every single player out there, and the excuses are flowing in, and it was really honestly a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I mean, that was my favorite thing about the weekend, was watching everyone just lose their minds over Boone's decisions and his managing style, and oh my god, we don't have Aaron Judge. Like, yeah, okay, well, we don't have literally half our roster.
Yeah. And get this. This is the argument I got today. So I'm trying to kind of see where they're coming from. So the big argument is, hey, the Yankees don't have Judge, and they don't have Sanchez, and Hap didn't start on game three, which wouldn't have mattered anyway because Eovaldi pitched an amazing game. But the only excuse you can really make is Judge, because Judge hits the lights out of the ball against the Red Sox. And the only other excuse you can make for Sanchez is that he's just better defensively and can throw runners out, which doesn't make sense that they're like, we don't have Sanchez. And literally, the Orioles game right before the series started, he was the reason they lost that game. And they were calling for him to be benched. They were calling for his head to be benched. So, and the dude's hitting, what, 188 on the year? I'm not freaking scared of Sanchez. So this guy's argument was, yeah, but if Sanchez and Judge are in the lineup, they provide two more high intensity at-bats, which causes pitch counts to go up. And I was like, one, that only happens on Judge. Nobody is scared to throw at Sanchez. And with Judge, you throw him high or you hit that slider outside, he looks the same as Stan. They're just throwing their bat, which looks like a toothpick, in their hands at it. So
yeah.
I don't want to hear this high pressure intensity batting, especially with a first place team like the first place in the MLB, like the Red Sox, whose pitching is far and beyond better than any other team.
Yeah.
So bad arguments. Plus we have Devers out now, Kinsler, Pedroia, Swihart. Goes down. Mookie's playing second. Pierce is in right field. Sale didn't pitch. We don't have Erod. We don't have Wright. We don't have Maddox.
We don't have Xander Bogaerts didn't play the first two games.
Yeah, he was honestly kind of shaky too, because he just got hit in the hand that he had problems with last year. So I don't want to freaking hear it. We didn't have half the team there, and we still went ahead and swept y'all. So
yeah. So that's the thing though that I really noticed, was it went. After game three, everyone's like, oh, this is because of all the different things going on with the roster, and Boone doesn't know how to manage his team properly, and the lineup's all funky. And then after last night, those excuses just disappeared, and people were just really frustrated with the team. So Price goes out and throws – we're already at like 50 minutes, so we might have to speed this thing up a little bit. But Price goes out, throws six innings. Again, I don't love him coming out for the seventh.
Oh, my God. I know.
He was at 96 pitches. Might as well just take the money and run at that point from Cora. That's the first managing decision I've really questioned all year. But
– do you say Price had a good game? Does Price – is this – What do you rate this game? 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being he just threw a perfect game.
8.
An 8. I would have given him
7.5, 8. No, I'm sorry. That's a rookie score. I'll go 7.6.
Honestly, I'll put it at like 6.9, to be honest. I thought that first inning was shaky, but then he got in a groove. And the only reason he would be at an 8.1 if Cora didn't let him come out for the seventh and walk those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that – and I think everybody was on board with Price. Like, yeah, maybe Price is a good pitcher. Maybe we don't know anything. And then those two – now everyone's like, nah, man, he gave up two runs. And I was like, oh, my God, these people are ridiculous. Which really, if Hembree's coming on that situation – Hembree's been pitching really well – but That first off, I don't think that – actually, let's talk about this. I think Price probably could have gotten out of that the seventh to begin with, but the first at-bat, they loop one into right field, and J.D. Martinez doesn't come up and catch it. Like, I don't know what he was doing. He just – did you see
that? Yeah, I mean, you can't really expect that much from him. Again, the bullpen, besides Hembree
– looked awesome.
Looked great again.
So Hembree comes in. How many runs did Hembree give up?
None. He was not charged with any runs. Oh,
yeah. He did not look good. And he came in and walked somebody too. Whatever. He didn't look great. Yeah.
But so Mookie hits the go ahead home run, looking like himself. Tanaka looked good, but his pitch is racked up, so he didn't really get a play that long.
Oh, my God. Tanaka? Hey, his little split finger or whatever. Is it a singer or a split finger?
The splitter.
That split finger on the bottom of the zone is ridiculously nasty.
Yeah, I mean, he throws like the third highest percentage of balls down in the zone because he knows if he leaves anything up, it's going to get hit around. Aroldis Chapman comes in. So this is where we're thinking, okay, we're going to see Britton, Betances, and Chapman, and it's going to be ugly. And it was.
Yeah.
Britton looked pretty nasty. So Britton had some command issues, ended up throwing 22 pitches, but his sinker ball is really gross. And then Chapman comes up, and this is the whole time, like with someone like Chapman, who's so dominant, you just have to think, you just have to tell your team, just take pitches. Someone who hasn't pitched in that long, just take. And that's exactly what they did. Sandy walks. Mookie walks. He ends up striking out two over the course of in between those. So then it's two on, two out. Pierce works a full count. Walks as well. Here comes JD, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. He's about to hit a grand slam.
Oh, my God. I would have lost my shit.
And he didn't do that. But in true JD fashion, he never tried to do too much, and he just lined a single, giving the Red Sox an even better chance.
On his first pitch, too. Smart. Yeah. Smart.
And then Bogaerts hits a bounding ball to third, and he – I don't know if you noticed this, but he didn't really get out of the box that well.
I don't think he – yeah, I don't know what – maybe he thought it was going to curl foul. I don't know. I've looked at it a million times. It was as straight as an arrow. But if he would have gotten out of the box, the whole throwing error by Andujar wouldn't have even mattered because he basically got beat by like half a step in the first place.
Yeah, I mean that's just a rookie mistake from him. He's not attacking the ball, so he didn't attack the ball, and then he also tried to throw off of his back foot.
He got caught in between hops. That ball was a chopper. What's his face almost made a great scoop. Bird. I think Bird was in the game.
Bird. They charged a throwing error, but that was – I don't know how you could call that almost great. That ball bounced straight out of his glove. He's got to make that play.
Yeah, he does. But either way, I'm happy because guess who's being a smart base runner? Freaking Jackie Bradley. Who didn't start this game, and which I thought they were going to do this earlier, but we don't really have a backup catcher, but he comes in and runs for Sandy Leon at second. Ball gets hit to third, and he scores on that ball just being a smart base runner, ends up tying up the ball game.
Yeah, and then Renda comes in and allows base runs for Sandy, I think, again. JBJ pinch ran for Steve Pierce. Then pinch ran for Sandy Leon.
Yeah, you're right. Because Sandy Leon ended up scoring in the ninth because he had a great walk. And then Sandy comes up in the tenth and gets a hit. Like, Sandy, for a guy that basically, if he steps in the box, I'm basically counting it as an out. He really played he had two walks that game and a hit. He played a really big role in that game.
Yeah, it's just sort of being sneaky. And that one, the Reds. Oh, and then Benny in the 10th. Holder comes in. You're like, it's over. It's over.
Yeah. Oh, my. Why would they bring Holder in? Was this like a redemption for him?
No. Holder's been good. I mean, we've known that. Holder's been good this year. So they're thinking, okay, but the Red Sox just, they just got, they just grind. And that's exactly what they did. They got base runners on. They got runners on base. And then here, the Yankee killer, Andrew Benintendi, drove him home. And that completed the four-game sweep.
Yes. And you know what's funny is they had that shift on where they've been playing Didi up the middle. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Which is crazy that this ball that Benny hit, because it wasn't a hard hit ball. It was like a chopper.
Just probably a single, right place.
Yeah, exactly. Because that shift they've had on us this whole series, even though we scored a bunch of runs this series, that has killed us because our hitters are smacking the ball up the middle. Literally. Oh my,
we had probably six lineups that series.
Yeah. Right to Didi. Like, it was absolutely – it was pissing me off, too, because they were great at bats, great hits, and they were just playing the shift well. But that comeback, that – what did I tell everybody in the seventh? I said everybody needs to calm down. It's a 4-1 ball game, and we're going to see the top of our lineup twice. And with the top of our – we have the best top of the lineup in the whole entire league.
Yeah.
So, everyone – you know, everybody – if on a 4-1 ball game in the seventh, are you really giving up on a team? There's still 9 more outs to play. You know, I didn't understand where people – I think people chalked it up as a thing as, oh, I guess we took 3 of 4, and I'm kind of content with that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so I was sort of thinking, okay, Cora's mistake. You don't make that mistake in the playoffs. And we went 3 of 4, and we still have a 7.5-game lead. But the Red Sox had other plans, and as resilient as they've ever been – getting it done when it really matters most. So that sort of concludes the 4-game set. Obviously, we sort of touched on all the different minor talking points, talking about Boone, talking about Yankees starting pitching. Now the Red Sox own the largest division lead in all of baseball, which is so surprising because you think of like the Twins and you're like, oh my God, they're so far back of the Indians. But really, the reality is the Red Sox put a smacking on the Yankees, and it really lengthened their lead. And now it makes them just far and away the favorite.
Yeah. 9 games up now. Yankees beat the White Sox today, so they gained that little half a game. Still, you kind of want to have your foot on the gas because, I don't know, you know, you're a little bit younger than me, but in 2011, we were up by 9 or so games with 22 games left, and we ended up getting third in the division. Yeah. And we won 90 games.
I remember that.
And we lost to the Orioles that last game. I think it was an extra inning ball game too.
Yeah.
So, foot's on the gas. We played the Yankees 6 more times this year. So, this being up 9, I mean, I'm extremely happy. I think everybody in Boston and New York was thinking this was going to be a split and it was going to stay at 5.5.
Yeah,
games.
I was sort of thinking like, yeah, it's going to be a split. It's just going to be a fallback. And the Red Sox will keep their lead.
Yeah, but now that we're 9 up, like this is some, and this is good for our pitching too, because now they're gonna go ahead and rest Sale one more time.
Yeah.
They're not gonna bring him in to where he has to hit, not those interleague games, so he doesn't have to hit. And you know, I think in about a month, Erod comes back too. So everything is looking up, and everybody that went on the 10-day, so Swihart, Kinsler, Devers today hit a monster moonshot in his assignment today, and Lowell. And they'll all be back within the 10 days. Nothing serious. So everything's looking up for the Sox right now. They can only get better.
Yeah, for sure. We sent out something on Twitter, and some guy actually wanted to talk about some stuff. So you mentioned this after the game. All of a sudden, the Yankees got to be a little bit worried about the wild card.
Yes.
Like, all of a sudden, now it's not so much, hey, what about the division? It's like, oh, my God, the wild card. Sam?
Yeah.
Sam, you still there?
So now
bang, it didn't cut out.
They're 4 games up. I'm here.
The A's are playing some phenomenal baseball.
Yeah.
And Yeah, but I mean, this sort of, we expect this every year from the Mariners. I think they're a good enough ball club.
The Mariners are shooting themselves in the foot right streak.
So, but the Astros aren't really killing it. Of course, they beat the Giants 3-1 tonight. But Correa, Springer, Altuve are all in the DL.
They got some major injuries.
I think, McCann and Lance McCullers as well.
Who else? And McCann. Yeah, their huge guys are all out right now, which is not good for right now because, we're jumping into this talking about the Yanks playing for the wild card now. They're 2.5 games up on Oakland, or maybe it's 3 games up on Oakland now, and they're, I think, 4.5 up on the Mariners. And that's not really going to – if you want to think of the Mariners and Oakland, you might want to even think about the Astros being in that situation because the Astros are only, like, 3.5-4 up on Oakland and 5.5 up on the Mariners, which, Oakland is playing – Oakland's playing some freaking – they have the best record, like, since – I want to say May.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they do.
They're, I think it's May.
Ahead
yeah.
of the Red Sox,
I think they're the best record in baseball since May.
And
wouldn't that be crazy? Wouldn't that be crazy? Think of this: the Astros don't win the division. Say Oakland wins the division.
That wild card game would be electric.
Astros are in the wild card with the Yankees. Wouldn't that be the most? That would – and where would
– I think if it was played in Houston, the Yankees would be –
Where would you want that played? Would you want that played in Houston or New York?
Tanaka. Because right now, I don't think you can really trust Seve on the mound.
You have to throw Tanaka.
Houston
has a better record than the Yankees
Houston.
Right now.
So I think that would be not only an incredible game,
like
but also
game.
Be just like from a Red Sox perspective, it'd just be hilarious to see that happen and the A's pull off the.
It would kind of suck for the Red Sox though, because think about it. Who would you,
dude? The A's are going to face against the Red Sox this year. It's
Yankees
the only team
or the
really
Astros
done
in the ALDS in a 5-game set. Yeah, exactly.
So good.
So
the Houston's pitching could win a series on their own.
It's still so scary though because Houston's
Keiko, yeah.
Verlander, Cole, Chris Morton. How do you say his name? Keiko. Keuchel, that set right there alone is ridiculous. That would be a full-on pitching battle. I don't know, man. That's gonna wrap up crazy because you know who is playing really good baseball right now is the freaking Texas Rangers, and they all got to play the Rangers, 6 to 9 more times this year. And Rangers have won
it's going to be a really pesky division, especially with the Angels.
8 or 9
well.
In the past, 12.
Shohei Ohtani is sort of coming on strong. So, I don't know. The playoff picture will be one to really monitor closely. Obviously, the Red Sox are sort of sitting pretty. Yeah, I know, but he's hitting, dude. He's hitting bombs. He's had a 2-home-run game in Cleveland.
You know he's not pitching, right? Yeah, but
what? Well, yeah.
I thought this
whole
idea was supposed to be the next type of ball player was supposed to be the pitcher that can hit.
With Shohei, you can't throw a guy out there that has a – really fucked up, excuse me, really messed up UCL. So if you're going to keep – if he's a productive hitter out of the 4 spot or the 5 spot, you have him hit. It doesn't matter about pitching. No. As a DH, no. There's not really a
risk. But aren't you even risking him? What would you rather – they brought him – What are you talking about?
He's just hitting.
Why do you think they brought Ohtani in? Did they bring him in to hit or to pitch?
Obviously, stuff was nasty. Yeah, no.
No, but I'm saying
about,
they brought him
in
to be a pitcher.
Much bigger hitter.
Yes, come on. Don't
A much more productive hitter than they ever thought. So they're getting their money's worth on that end alone. And now they just try and rehab the elbow.
think of all the crazy things. Bogaerts the other day almost broke his hand.
No, I mean, I think you're looking into it too much. I really don't think it's that much of an issue.
And they're going to throw him in.
So you want him pitching?
Yeah, I guess. I don't want Otani to get hurt either. I'm not trying to say that because he is the next version of.
Yeah. Oh, your dad just commented on my Twitter.
He's the next type of baseball player to come into the game.
He said,
you know what I mean?
Thoughts on the chance of breaking the wins record.
What did he say?
Yeah.
I see it. Without being a homer. Without never been. Yeah, he's a total homer. Thoughts on chance of breaking the wins are also a dad disclaimer. Yeah, actually, he's actually he's less of a homer than I am. He's actually very smart about everything that's going on right now. I get a lot of information from him, but they have to win 39 of their next 50 ball games to beat it of the modern record, which is 117 games, and
I
think it's the Mariners own the record. The Yankees. The Yankees won 114. There's only two teams that have ever finished above a 700 win percentage in modern day baseball with 160 ball games. 116 wins for the Mariners, which is 714, and then the 1998 New York Yankees, who won it all, had 114 wins.
So it can be done.
We're on pace for 113.
I'm not concerned with the record at all. I don't think there's any reason for
the Red Sox to go
full wires and just pursue this record and be, oh, best team in baseball history, and then fizzle out in the postseason. If we just keep playing baseball the way we've been playing baseball, the win's going to come. If we break the record, cool, amazing. If we don't, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. 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 Because if that last game, that last series, because our last series is a home series versus three games versus the Yankees. If that series really doesn't matter at all, I'm not throwing Sale. I'm not throwing.
We've got the numbers to be able to afford that luxury.
Exactly. Everybody, I'm not taking the chance.
Yeah.
So we're kind of getting late into this. I only want to talk about one more thing, and I guess we can be quick about it. So. After that ball game on Sunday where the Red Sox miraculous comeback against Aroldis Chapman, who is a premier elite closer throwing 100-plus miles an hour, J.D. Martinez says after the game, and not in a cocky way at all, not in a belittling way towards Chapman, he just says, as batters, even around the league, we are more comfortable stepping into the plate against those types of guys now because there's starters that are throwing anywhere from 98 to 100. There's relievers coming in pumping 100. It's not so uncommon now to see 100 miles an hour. So you're really not that rattled when you're seeing that type of speed.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think that Chapman stuff is so lights out.
What do you think about that?
His stuff is so good that obviously it's hard to even come up with a rally against him, let alone three runs. But I think that it's definitely true. I mean, they've seen a lot of hard throwing pitchers this year, as have a lot of teams, and the Red Sox are a contact team. They're not really swing and miss guys. So naturally, they're going to put the ball in play more.
Yeah, because think about our rotation alone. We have Sale can throw 100. Eovaldi can throw 100. Porcello gets up there. Kimbrel can throw 100. Joe Kelly can throw 100. It's the league now. Yeah. You're not finding a lot of guys. At least even starting pitchers who are only throwing 90-mile-an-hour fastballs. So that's a great – as a Red Sox fan, that's a great thing to hear when you're going in to the playoffs and the Astros have a guy throwing 100. The Yankees have a guy throwing as their closers coming in. So I think that's actually in the future is going to change how the closer – I think the closer in the future, a couple years from now, is going to have more than a freaking
100-mile-an-hour
fastball.
Clearly, just Chapman in the zone. Does not incite fear into the Red Sox because he has not really been crazy effective against them.
Which is – No, didn't he blow a save the last time he came out?
I think he's blown like probably like 50 or 60%.
I'm almost positive he came out and allowed like two runs.
Like the ones that he's blown like that many have been against like 60% have been against the Red Sox. But I really don't think that he – I don't think he blew a save last time out, but obviously what comes to mind is the Devers and then that one other collapse in the Bronx where it ended up leading to his demotion from –
Yeah. So I thought that was a good thing to touch on. Overall, kind of recapping, we're 9 games up now. We swept the Stankies. They're in absolute denial, even though they have the 3rd best record in baseball. And I guess now we have the bleeding Toronto Blue Jays coming up. Sale's not going to pitch against them. And I think
I don't see how the Red Sox stop any
games. I know
we
have a tough schedule coming up, but I think we're
really
going to be all right.
So I think that it's definitely just still looking up. We might have a different conversation in a week, but the offense, when the offense isn't providing, the pitching is. And when the pitching needs some help getting some pickup, it's the offense that's coming in big. So it's just like a perfect balance right now. No, dude, I'm ready for bed. I've had a long day.
Yeah,
thank you for everyone that tuned in to episode number 5 of Front Yard Sox. This was being recorded, Monday the 6th at night. It'll probably go live tomorrow. So we appreciate – go retweet Sam's giveaway on Twitter. He's giving away a pair of Benny jerseys.
Hopefully before the game starts.
And just being a good Samaritan, supporting the brand. So go Red Sox. What was it? 44 games over 500 now and looking 45 and looking strong as hell. So appreciate everyone. Oh, Jesus. 46 over. So appreciate everyone again, tuning in and
46.
Let's get after the Blue Jays this week. See you later, Sam.
Yeah.
See you. Go Sox.